Bibles to Matthew chapter number 5. Matthew chapter number 5. Matthew chapter number 5, we'll look at two verses tonight, verses 14 and 15. If you'll join me on verse number 15, stand with me please. Verse number 14 of Matthew chapter number 5 says, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house." Let's go ahead and go, Lord, in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for some young people that will use their talents for you. I pray, Lord, that they would continue to do that. And Lord, I thank you for that song that they play, Lord, and how your grace is greater than our sin. Lord, thank you so much for your wonderful grace. Lord, your incredible grace, but Lord, your powerful grace that is greater than our sin. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that you'd please help the service tonight be with our preacher as he comes in just a little bit. I pray, Lord, that you'd please anoint him, that your Holy Spirit would meet with us, please. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
They brought me to the temple, to where Jesus was. They told him all my sin and what I'd done. According to the law, I deserve to die. I stood in judgment there before God's Son. His enemies demanded to see justice done. He knelt and simply wrote upon the sand. And when he stood to speak, I trembled in my soul, as with these words he answered their demand. He that is without sin, cast the first stone. Then one by one I watched them walk away. He said, "I do not condemn thee. Go and sin no more. And I have lived a new life since that day." He did not cast a stone. He did not lift his hand. The justice of his love was all he would demand. I deserve to die for all that I had done. Oh, praise his name, he did not cast a stone. Oh, ever since the day my Savior set me free, my life has been for him and him alone. He was the only one without sin on that day, but he chose not to cast a stone. He did not cast a stone. He did not lift his hand. The justice of his love was all he would demand. I deserve to die for all that I had done. Oh, praise his name, he did not cast a stone. Oh, praise his name, he did not cast a stone. He did not cast. stone.
Thank you, Tony, for that song tonight. Familiar passage to us tonight, Matthew 5. These are very familiar verses. I don't know how many times we've been in them, 25 years, but more than once. And again tonight, I want to speak on this subject. Christianity is not for keeps. I made that statement a few weeks ago, said that the Lord had been working in my heart about that. And so this is the result of that. Christianity is not for keeps. Let's ask the Lord to help us. Father, thank you for the good song. And now would you please come and grace us with your help as we, Lord, seek to give your word to the people tonight. God, I pray that this message will be like bread fresh from your oven for a hungry soul. God, I pray that it will feed us and help us and challenge us and move us. And Lord, if that happens, it will only be done through the power of your Spirit as He works through the Word of God. So help us tonight. Give myself to you fully, completely, wholly. Just asking God for you to bless and help us in these moments. In Christ's name we pray, and amen. One of the doctrines of the Bible that Baptist people down through history have embraced is the eternal security of the believer. Once saved, always saved is not a Baptist doctrine. It's a Bible doctrine that Baptist people have believed and preached for the most part down through time. Paul put it this way in 2 Timothy 1:12, "For I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." And I like what Paul said. John said it this way in John 10:28-29, "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." I say amen to that. Salvation is forever. Once saved, always saved. So, I said that so that you would not take from the title of the message tonight that salvation is not for keeps. Salvation is for keeps. It's kept for us by God Himself. But the title is Christianity is not for keeps. Christianity is what follows salvation. Christianity is salvation taking root in our lives and actually bearing fruit through our lives. God did not save us and give us eternal life and doesn't keep us saved just so we can have a fire escape from hell. That's the honest truth. Didn't do that for us. Jesus addresses this very early in His ministry as He began to call men and women unto Himself. In Matthew 4:19, He told them, "Ye shall be fishers of men." In Matthew 5:13, He said, "Ye are the salt of the earth." And in verse 14 in chapter 5, He said, "You are the light of the world." Fishers of men, salt of the earth, light of the world. Folks, none of that was for them. All of that was for others. Every bit of it. The fishers of men, the salt of the earth, and the light of the world. All of that was for others. And tonight I want to deal with the aspect of being a light. Three thoughts for us on that theme tonight. Christianity is not for keeps. Number one, we become lights when we get saved. We become lights when we get saved. That's what verse number 14 says, basically. Ye are the light of the world. Now, I've established this with you recently in the sermons on separation out of the book of Genesis, that all through the Bible, light and darkness are used to teach us about the contrast between being saved and being lost. When we are lost, we are in darkness. When we get saved, we become light in the Lord. In John chapter 1 in verse 4, talking about Jesus, the Bible says, listen, in Him was life. Now let me ask you a question. What kind of life was in Jesus Christ? Eternal life was in Jesus Christ. So in Him was life. That's over in 1 John 5:11. And this is the record that God hath given unto us eternal life. And this life is in His Son. So John 1, 4 says, in Him was life. That's eternal life. And the life was the light of men. We become light at salvation. When we get saved, when we're born again, we are made alive. We are quickened, as I was explaining to people yesterday, and we become light when Jesus saves us. You see, people, it takes light to give light. Darkness cannot give light. That's why works can't give you light. Only salvation by grace through faith can give you light. Works are dead apart from Jesus Christ. Apart from Him, they're dead. They give no light. Darkness cannot give light. Light gives light. And Jesus, the light, gives us light when He saves us. And that's why He said to these people who were following Him, "Ye are the light of the world." Jesus lit them up. Jesus lit them up. He lit them with the light of eternal life. And after they were lit with the light of eternal life, they became lights. And I'll tell you something. He lit you up and He lit me up when He saved us. Have you ever been lit? Now that can be taken wrong, okay, in a church service. But have you ever been lit in the text, in the context of what I'm preaching about tonight? Have you ever been saved? Have you ever been lit? You know, it'll be 40 years this October that the light of the world entered into my life and lit me up. And brother, once I was lit, I began to see things. You know, you always see better in the light. And once I got lit, I began to see things in a new and different way, a different perspective completely. I began to see truth in the Word of God. Before I got lit, this was a boring book. I didn't take it to church with me. I didn't carry it around. I didn't read it. I wasn't interested in hearing it preached. You say, yeah, I'm the same way. That was before I got lit. But when I got lit, things changed about the Word of God. I got some light in me called eternal life. Now, eternal life is the light of men. And I began to see things differently about the Word of God. I began to see truth about sin and its hollowness. How empty and hollow sin is. Brother, it is sin. It is sin is hollow and sin is empty. And I began to see that after I got saved. I was lit. I began to see truth about real happiness and real joy and how real happiness and real joy is realized. You know, it was a blessed day when I got lit. Have you been lit? You get lit by coming into contact, by faith in Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world. A lot of the times when we sing songs out of the hymn book, we sing songs written by a man named P.P. Bliss. Interesting story. He died on his way to Chicago. He wrote a lot of the songs that Ira Sankey sang in D.L. Moody's revivals. And he died on a train on the way to Chicago in a train accident. He died trying to rescue his wife from the fire. That's how he died. But P.P. Bliss wrote a lot of songs, and Sankey sang them, made them famous, and God used them. He wrote this song that we sometimes sing here in our church services. He wrote the song, "The Light of the World is Jesus. Ye dwellers in darkness with sin-blinded eyes, the light of the world is Jesus. Go wash at His bidding and light will arise. The light of the world is Jesus." I want to tell you something, friend. When you come into contact with the light of the world, you get lit up. And I'm here to tell you tonight, your disinterest in the Bible, and your disinterest in church, and your disinterest in all things holy and right, is not just a choice or an opinion. It's a serious problem. And it may be you've never been lit. Because when you get lit, things change. When you get lit, we become lights when we get saved. When we come into contact with the light of the world, we get lit up and we become a light as well. Now, number two, let me say this tonight. We are lit to give light. So he tells this man in verse, these men in verse, these people, not just the men. He tells all these people in verse number 14, "Ye are the light of the world. You've come into contact with me. You've trusted me as your personal Savior. I've given unto you eternal life." That life is the light of men. You get lit up when you get saved. Now, you are saved to give light. He says in verse number 15, "Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light." You, me, we are lit to give light. And this is a theme that is repeated throughout the New Testament. Paul put it this way in Philippians 2:15, that you may be, now listen to these words, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Now this was written back in the first century. And Paul said, you Christians, and he's writing to Gentile Christians, you Christians are living in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, but one of the reasons you're there is so that you will shine. You have been saved, you have been given light, you have been lit for the purpose of giving light. And people, that's one of the reasons you and I have been saved. We have been lit to give light. Jesus lights us when we get saved. He gives us the light of salvation. And then we begin to work out that salvation. We work it out through the principles of Christianity. We work it out by obeying Jesus Christ and by following Him and allowing the Spirit of God to take the salvation, the eternal life, the light of men that has been placed in us, allowing the Spirit of God to work it out through us, allowing the Spirit of God to incorporate the principles of Christianity in our daily walk, in our daily life. Jesus did not put salvation in us just for us to have salvation. He didn't do that. He put salvation in us. And thank God we get to keep it. But like a person doesn't light a candle and put it under a bushel, put it under a hood, put it in a box. A person doesn't do that. A person lights a candle when they need light. And Jesus gave, He didn't light us just so we could have and keep light for us. He lit us so that we could give light. So that we could give light. Now I brought my little candle and stuff up here tonight, so I can kind of say a couple things about this. But and I'll try not to burn the place down. That's going to be good. So, all right. Now, all right. Very good. There. Now, because the candle has light, it gives light. The candle doesn't have light just to talk about having light. The candle has light to give light. Now, we don't use candles very often in this day and age unless the power goes out in the house. And when the power goes out in the house, we go to the little place where the candles are kept and the matches and so forth. And the reason we light the candle is so that it will give light. A candle is lit to give light. And the salvation that Jesus put in me and the salvation that Jesus put in you, the light that He put in us, should shine. He didn't give it to us just so we could talk about having salvation. He gave it to us so that we could in turn give light to people who were in darkness. So that light that He put in us, it should shine through our life. It should shine through our talk. It should shine through our behavior. It should shine through our proactive service for God. It should shine through our music. It should shine through our joy. People, it is the principle that what we get from God, we should share with others. And if you went to First Baptist Hammond for any amount of time whatsoever, if you were at college up there, whatever, you saw Jack Cowles, he would, about once a year, he would say, I'm going to preach you a wordless sermon. And this is what he would do. He said, this is the Christian life. And I'll preach to you about what the Christian life is without any words. And this is what Dr. House did. He would kneel on the platform and he would do this. That's what the Christian life is. We don't get from God just to get. We get from God to give. I'm not talking about money. That's included. I'm talking about the whole ball of wax. Everything, friend. You know, God doesn't give us light just so we can have it. Put whatever definition you want to on the word light. What would you like to try? Would you like to use the word joy? You know, does everybody like joy? I like joy. You like joy? We all like joy. Who gives us joy? God gives us joy. How do we get joy? We get joy through salvation, okay? But people, God doesn't give us joy just so we can have joy. We are given joy so we can hopefully share joy with everybody else. You know, what do you want to call it? You want to call it understanding? You know, we aren't given understanding just so we can have understanding. Because Christianity is not for keeps. It's not just for me. And mine, Christianity is understanding is given to me so that I can share it with somebody else. What do you want to call it? You want to call light comfort? Why are we given comfort? We're given comfort just for ourselves. Who likes to be comforted? Everybody likes to be comforted. When your heart is troubled, everybody likes comfort. But God, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, God doesn't give us comfort just so that we can be comforted. God gives us comfort not only to enjoy, but to share it with others, because Christianity is not for keeps. Salvation's for keeps. But Christianity, are you with me tonight? Christianity is not for keeps. And, you know, I've got to be careful I don't just abuse this, but this is where I was a few weeks ago when I told you about this thought, you know, and you know, Sam died, and since Sam died, we talked about on a Wednesday night here at prayer time, there's been about three other stillborn babies. The Borner couple up in, the girl grew up in Jordan, married one of Brother Borner, pastors up in Wisconsin, Menominee. And one of his sons, and I don't know if it's the one that works with him or the one that works with Brother McIntyre. I don't know, which one? With him, up in Menominee. And his wife goes 9 months full term, delivers a stillborn baby. That just happened. And Mike Stanley, down here in Arkansas, you know, he writes me this wonderful letter by way of email prior to Sam's burial, and just says some comforting things. And you know, it was a blessing. And I told you, and I'm not going to retell the story, how that God used that little phrase out of the triumphant entry of Christ into Jerusalem about the donkey, because the Lord hath need of him. I already had that sermon prepared. And when God took Sam, God used that little phrase in my heart to comfort me concerning that little boy being taken to heaven. And all I did was simply write a paragraph or two to Brother Stanley on the email saying, Brother Stanley, let me just say what the Lord did for me. And I told him about that passage. And you know, I heard from Caleb Hansen this week. He said, man, I heard that what you said to Brother Stanley got to those kids, and those kids told their parents, and it got all over the part of the country. Now, look, I am no super Christian, but here's what it is, folks. God didn't comfort me just so I could be comforted. Because Christianity is not for keeps. I had no idea Mike Stanley would lose a grandson 6 days later. God gave me that to help me, yes. And I'm glad He did. But God didn't give it to me to keep it with me. God gave it to me so I could pass it on to somebody else. Because Christianity is not for keeps. Peace, who doesn't like peace? God gives us peace. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. But we don't get peace so that we can just have peace and be happy and enjoy peace. We get peace so that we can hopefully share peace with somebody else. Because Christianity is not for keeps. Christianity is not for keeps. It's for sharing. It's for displaying. It's not just so I can have. It's so that I can give. And I want to tell you something, brother. This message needs to be trumpeted and trumpeted and trumpeted and preached in this day. And Brother Gomez said it right yesterday to Jamie and Keith up here when he was giving just the few words to them in the fore part of the ceremony. This is a world overwhelmed by narcissism. It's overwhelmed by it. You say, what's narcissism? Excessive self-love. What I can have, what I can get, what I can do, what I can be, what I can enjoy. I want to tell you something, friend. That attitude should not permeate our lives. We need to remember, as God's people, that we are lit with light that is not just for us. We are lit with light to give light. I mean, you look at social media. What, you know, people putting pictures of themselves. What is the terminology that the world uses? Selfies. That ought to say something in and of itself right there. It's all about us. And it's boys modeling? Boys modeling? Excuse me while I go puke outside that door right there. Heaven, help us. What in the world? And by the way, one of the great ironies of this day is young people putting pictures of themselves on social media in compromising situations with booze in their hands at parties with wild stuff going on, boys with girls and girls with boys and half naked in some cases, putting it on social media and then getting mad when they are called on the carpet by somebody in authority and saying, mind your own business. Okay. Got it. You put it out there for the world to see. But you're going to get upset, and not just you, but your daddy and mommy. Your daddy and mommy are going to be upset too. I want to tell you something. Listen very carefully. Don't you get mad at me or some other person in authority for calling your kid on the carpet when they put pictures of themselves on social media in compromising positions for the world to see. And for the people all across the nation to go, oh, they go to Faith Baptist. Guess what? It is my business. It becomes my business if you're a member here. Yes, it does. But I digress. Forgive me, okay? Let me get back on target here tonight. Are you giving light? Now, the question is, have you been lit? And you get lit by coming into contact with the light of the world. But once you're lit to give light. You're not lit just to get light. You're not lit just to have light. You're not lit just to keep light. You light a candle. Jesus said, you light a candle to give light. That's why you light it. So are you giving light? Salvation is for keeps, but Christianity that is produced by salvation is not for keeps. And all that God gives us as a result of us being saved is for the purpose of us enjoying it, yes, and then turning right around and finding an avenue, a medium, an opportunity to share it with somebody else. Share it with somebody else because Christianity is not for keeps. Number three, I'll say this tonight. Listen very carefully. In order to shine, you have to burn. Not only is this candle shining, but this candle is burning. It is shorter already than it was a few minutes ago when I lit it. There's less of it. When it's lit, when it gives light, it's burning. And people, that is a necessity. If it's going to shine, it has to burn. It must be consumed in order to give light. I love. I love it, but I'm convicted by it. I love what Jesus said about John the Baptist in John 5:35. He was a burning and a shining light. Has to be two different things. He was a burning and a shining light. Burning, shining. If you're not burning, you're not shining. Paul said it this way in 2 Corinthians 12:15, and I will very gladly spend and be spent for you. That's two different things. Paul said, I will very gladly spend, I will give light, and I will be spent. I will burn. I will be consumed. You see, friend, there is no light where there is no burn. So I guess the question tonight is not just are you willing to give light, but are you willing to be spent? And to whatever degree you and I are willing to be spent, to that same degree you and I will spend. To whatever degree you and I are willing to burn, to that same degree you and I will give light. That's what makes the difference in a Sunday school teacher that's effective and one that's not. All Sunday school teachers have something to spend. Some teachers are spent. That's what makes the difference in the bus ministry. Some are willing to spend. Others are willing to be spent. I thought it was tremendous yesterday that one of our single age young ladies, our single young adult ladies, went out of her way to bring a couple of teenage bus girls who are faithful to the wedding yesterday because they had never attended a Christian wedding. And I stood up here and looked and sat, and I see them in the back row, and I'm seeing this teenage girl that rides the buses, these two teenage girls, and they're just staring. They're enraptured. They're caught up in the whole thing that was taking place in front of them. I said, Lord, please help them to realize this for themselves someday. But I'll tell you what, you know why that happened for them? Because somebody was willing to be spent. Somebody was willing to be spent. It's not enough sometimes just to spend. You have to be spent. It's a difference in a soul winner. Soul winners are some soul winners are willing to spend. Other soul winners are willing to be spent. What are you saying? Some soul winners are willing to give light. Others are willing to burn. Some people in the church, in a ministry of a local New Testament church. And by the way, I don't know how you get around the service that God expects is through the local New Testament. And I'll say this tonight, folks. If there's one thing that's got me a little bit concerned lately, I think we got a lot of people right now spending, but some are not being spent. You know, we're in the choir 1 week, and gone for two, and back for one, and gone for two, and back for two more. If I can make it, fine. If I can't, fine. In the band for a week, gone the next week. In the Sunday school teacher's meeting this week, but not the next two, and back the next. You can't build a doghouse on that. Can't build a doghouse on that kind of stuff. No, you can't build a business on that. Won't work at church either. No, sir. Yeah, I'm not talking about being sick. I'm not talking about that at all. I'm just talking about, you know, yeah. I got a little light. I'm willing to light. I'm willing to spend. Are you willing to be spent? You say, Pastor, good night, man. We have to, you know, it's teacher's meeting. It's class. It's passing out tracts and trying to work and have a family and be an influence at church, you know, and it's this and it's that. And it's, the, you know, it's called commitment. You know what it's called? It's called being spent. It's called being spent. And Paul said, I will gladly spend. I'll give light. But I'll be spent. I will burn. I will burn for you. And you take whatever it is, friend. If it's music ministry, if it's Sunday school, if it's choir, if it's band, if it's bus ministry, if it's the soul, if it's helping where you're supposed to help, if it's nursery, if it's doing whatever you're supposed to do, you take this upcoming conference. Look, folks, I am the one that carries the load of saying to you, we're going to do it again. And I know what that means. It's cut down to 3 days. It's cut down to 3 days because of money and because I don't want to just absolutely wear everybody out. But I want to tell you something. I want to tell you very clearly, listen, I don't share everything I know with you from this pulpit, but the lines are being drawn, and there is a departure from the old paths of Christianity. Now, I've told you that, and I'm tired of telling you that. There's a departure from that. I don't care what you say. There's a departure from it, and I know what I speak. I know whereof I speak. And I know that there's some young pastors who come to this meeting because it is this meeting where they hear the old-time truths of God's Word preached and where people are reaching back to the Tom Malones and the Lee Robertsons and the Lester Roloffs and the others of yesteryear who had some convictions about behavior and living and trying to pass it down, and this is the way, walk ye in it. And they come to this conference to get their batteries charged. But somebody has to be spent to do that. Somebody has to be spent. Well, I don't want to be spent. Okay, you know, give light, but to whatever degree you're willing to burn, to that same degree, that's how much light you'll give. Because to give light, you've got to burn. It takes some burning. It takes some burning to give light for the next generation. And you young men who are looking at the ministry, and some of you young men called to go into the ministry, I hope that you'll understand, friend, that when God puts His call upon you, it is a call not to just give light. It's a call to burn. It's a call to spend, yes. But it's a call to be spent. To be spent. To be consumed. To give out. To burn. So that light can shine. Young preacher boys, you're looking for some easier way in the ministry. There may be an easier way, but you're not going to give out near as much light as if you will, if you're willing to burn, burn, burn. Because to give light, you must burn. I've been talking for a while since I lit that candle. It's obviously smaller now than it was even a few minutes ago. That candle is burning. Not just giving light. And that's what it takes for you and me, friend. Not only to spend, but to be spent. And you know, these times come where we have these intense seasons of things that we got to do. And I tell you, the people who are the greatest blessing, the people who are the greatest blessing are folks who are willing not only to spend, but to be spent. To be spent. John Knox lived and preached during the time of the Reformation. John Knox was not a Baptist. But he was a strong proponent of coming out of the Catholic Church. Oh, I'm telling you, you ought to see a picture. You ever seen a picture of John Knox? He had a long old beard, looked like Abraham. Long. Of course, I don't know what Abraham looked like. I don't know why I said that. Looked like pictures I've seen of Abraham anyway. This is a real picture of John Knox. He had a long, he was a ringtail guy. John Calvin declared John Knox as, quote, God's firebrand. They say that Mary Stuart, who was the Queen of Scots, trembling and in tears, said, "I am more afraid of the prayers of John Knox than I am an army of 10,000. You know what John Knox was known to pray? Give me, he's from Scotland. He was known to pray, "Give me Scotland or I die." You know what John Knox is saying? I'm not just willing to spend. I'm willing to be spent. Now, people's salvation is for keeps. When God saves us, it's forever. I don't have to worry about it. It's in His hands. But Christianity is not for keeps. Whatever God has done for you, whatever God has done for me since salvation, is made to be shared. It's made to be given. And if you're going to get lit, when you've been lit, you're going to give light. And if you're going to give light, you got to burn. You got to burn. I don't know about you, but I just want to spend my life burning. It's not easy sometimes to burn. It's not easy sometimes to be spent. But that's how I want to spend the rest of my life. Being spent. Burning. Christianity is not for keeps. Not for keeps. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, help us tonight. Bless our church. And God, I pray that You'll put the truth of this message deep down in our souls and help us to examine our hearts. Lord, I pray that You'll help us to be willing, as Paul said, not only to spend, but be spent. Put our hearts into it. God, to give as much light as we possibly can in this crooked and perverse nation in which we live, among whom we ought to shine as lights in the world. God, burn it in our hearts tonight. Help us to be committed, to be faithful. Lord, to rise above in Your power, to do what we ought to do at home, at church, at work, at school. Not only to spend, but to be spent, to give light. And Lord, in some cases, to burn to do it. Help us, I pray.